Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
Where two or more are gathered, makes a podcast. How's it going, Laurie?
What a beautiful Easter message. Thank you, Jackie.
We did okay on the Max Fun Drive. Thank you very much, everybody who donated and upgraded and boosted.
You can
get our enamel pin if you are if you got one, or if you wanted to get another one. They do this thing the week after where you can buy one for charity. And the charity this week, this year is, I think it's Vote Democrats or something. So and it so helps that, people get
that
to
money
the,
yeah. gets but you get the pin, right?
They get the pin. And the charity gets the money. We don't get the money on that. And it's, but it's a cool pin. It's a really a nice logo-y kind of pin. But I think it would be maximumfun.org/join again. So anyway, how was Easter? Did you guys do eggs?
No. my son is almost 18, Jackie. No.
Did you ever do eggs? Did your mom?
I don't know. Easter, just, there's a huge drop off. I mean, big Christmas, you know, and then once like, you know, I don't know, my son's father and I split up when he was three. So it was always, if we were going to do a holiday, I had to do everything. And I just couldn't wrap my head around Easter. It's too much. I was still recovering from Christmas, which was always took me out.
I was in Vegas for Easter, and I every year, every show, both shows, I always say, I did the over under on Jesus coming back, and it worked just fine.
I don't think you're going to get like strict evangelists in Vegas on Easter Sunday. So I think that crowd.
Safe. Even in front of Brian Regan's audience, and I think it's going to be fun.
That's right. Yeah.
It's do you know that they're knocking the trap down? The Laugh Factory's gone.
Oh, okay.
We went to the end of, Brian and Lisa, his partner, his girlfriend, and David Wills went to tour manager.
He's Jeff Wills' brother, right?
Right.
Okay.
And David and I watched, and then Brian's manager. This guy, Rory, who knows everybody. And he was like, I can't believe you don't know my last name. And I'm
Rory
like,
Rory Rosegarden?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Wait, why do you know? You know his.
He like
knows
the,
you. Yes, he's a big, and he loves you.
East Coast guy.
He is a big East Coast guy.
Yeah.
And the fact that I couldn't remember his last name, I got some guff for it. But I was like, dude, the fact that I recognize you when I see you is kind of a big win.
Didn't he have, he had Ray Romano too, right?
Still does.
Wow. That guy's doing well. Congrats.
And, yeah. And then he also for a while had Dick Cavett.
Wow.
And he had some great stories. It was amazing.
Yeah. I had the craziest week.
Okay. Should I tell you the one person that I won't
tell. I thought you were done with Vegas.
Oh no, there's more to it, but we can come back to it.
Jackie,
I think I might
You're reading something else while even you're talking.
This is the one guy that he said he doesn't like.
Oh,
which I thought would please you.
Please me.
There you go. We're done. Now you had a crazy week, did you? You went to Austin, didn't you?
Hold on. Can I tell the story? Tomorrow?
That's exactly what it's going to be like tomorrow.
Oh my God. All right. If for new listeners, Jackie and I are doing After Midnight tomorrow, Wednesday. When this drops, it'll be tonight, and with Maria. So it'll be you and me fighting for words, and then Maria, I don't know, just rolling her eyes, going, what's up with these fucking assholes?
Maria will politely sit there until Taylor Tomlinson goes, Maria, and then she'll say her joke. It'll be fun.
Yes, it will be a duel to the death, though. I'm excited. But last week, right? So on Tuesday, I went to go see after midnight at taping, right? Oh, right. Amy Miller and Shane Torres and Kyle Kinane. It was like a, I think that's like a Portland contingency. It was a great taping. Everyone did great. Monday night, I had done a set at the Comedy Store, the Barbie show. And I'll just leave that right there for later in the story.
Yeah,
okay?
Please.
So I get home on Tuesday night, and Wednesday morning, I get an 8 a.m. email from Bruce. That's pretty early. Can you do Austin starting tomorrow? And I'm like, right. Yeah. Right. So now of my course. Whole day yeah. pivots to prepping for Austin, including washing clothes I hadn't washed that had just come back on Sunday, right, from Michigan. Right. Mm-hmm. And then I realize I can't find my wallet. And I'm like, oh my God, Ooh. It's got my ID, my credit cards, whatever. And so I pivot to searching, cleaning, trying to figure out where it's gone, backtrack, you know, going over my schedule, calling different locations, canceling credit cards, all that stuff you do.
Right? Wow.
When you, and then as you realize I can't find it, oh my God, I have to travel. I have an old driver's license that Charmy bit. So I'm like, oh, I can't use that. I have to bring my passport. I don't want to bring my passport. Whatever. It's a nightmare. And then, so I finally called or I texted Renee Percy.
Okay.
And I said, do we have to show them our ID to get in yesterday? And she goes, yeah. So I'm like, all right, that's the last place I remember having it. So
okay,
I've done everything possible that I can think of. And I asked Bruce, can you ask anyone at After Midnight, oh, by the way, they're taping two shows today, if they saw my, you know, anyone turned up my wallet. So he sends All it. Right. Four people are on an email. They're going to look for it. And I'm so embarrassed, right? But I'm like, you know, if it's still there, it's there.
Right.
Then I start thinking and I realize, oh my God, when I was at the Comedy Store, there was a whole bunch of cookies. Someone made frosted cookies. And yeah. No one ate them.
Guess what? Now I'm interested in this story. Keep talking. Yes.
No one ate the cookies because it was an all-female show. So as I was leaving, I grabbed about eight of them and I just sure. threw them in my purse loose because, you know, my kid doesn't care if there's key
animal.
Marks in them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. And then they crumbled. And they got all, and I remember when I was at After Midnight, I put my hand on my purse and frosting was on my fingers. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like, oh, these fucking cookies. I forgot about them. So when I got home that night, I thought I took out all my possessions and then just dumped everything from the purse in the garbage. And I had the little wallet is yellow. It's small. And it was part of what I dumped in the garbage. So then I looked through the garbage and I found it. And then I had to email everyone at After Midnight that was looking for it and say, this is really embarrassing, but I actually found it in the garbage.
There you go.
So that was Wednesday. Yeah,
that was Wednesday.
Now I have.
So you got work. You had to also find your things.
Wait,
okay.
Okay. All right. So got that. Now the flight, next day flight, and returning on Easter was almost $800.
That actually sounds right. Because I think to go, I mean, it's not good, but going to Austin right now is so freaking expensive.
Right.
Did they cover that?
Almost all of it. Almost all of it. Okay. So, and then what happened was, so I'm replacing Maria, right?
Right. Because Maria had,
So, I get this on Wednesday morning. Wednesday afternoon, they had also had an offer out to Hannibal Buress, and he hadn't gotten back to him. That's why they called me Wednesday morning. I was definitely plan B. Yeah. Guess what? Plan A calls back and says, yeah, I can do it. So
yeah, right.
So then I was Thursday in the main room, and then Friday and Saturday, I still did four shows in the red room, but because they already had an 8 o'clock show, I did a 6 and a 10 and just hung out or went back to the hotel.
Right.
Between. It was a kooky week. And then I, of course, couldn't sleep because I had an early flight on Sunday, and I still feel like shit. Have not recalibrated or gotten even a full 8 hours yet. You know,
right? Today's
now,
Tuesday,
and now I'm all like so, freaked out because of you know After Midnight and today shopping, clothes shopping, yesterday shoe shopping. I'm just it just steals my soul. I hate it so much, and I don't know if I like what I bought. It's so hard to find clothes. I hate it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was supposed to, when I got home on Sunday, I was supposed to have that stylist who got me clothes for Don't Tell.
Yeah.
She was going to come over, but she got sick.
Oh.
And so she sent me to a stylist in Vegas.
Oh.
And I bought some clothes that I may never wear. I would love to tell you about an entirely gold outfit.
Jackie, you have to. Oh my God. Yeah. Is it shiny gold? Is it shiny?
Oh, yes.
Jackie.
It's, and then a jacket with fringe. I might wear the fringe jacket.
Yeah.
I do like, there's part of me that always wants to dress like a cowboy. And so, there's always a cowboy that I would like to dress like, or like I'm in a space opera. One of those two things. So
how can you, and this is a question for After Midnight, can we change clothes in between acts?
Like probably
Miss Diana Ross. Oh, okay.
but Maria said she's going to bring a couple of outfits. I talked to them today about what I might've wanted to talk about in the in-between.
Right. In the chat show.
Right. And I was like, I don't know, sweatpants that look like dress pants. And, cause I'm going to bring I'm going to bring a bunch of clothes because I bought the clothes for Vegas. Yesterday morning I went and she hooked me up with another woman in Eagle Rock. I showed up at this woman's house at Eagle Rock. She was also sick. And she's like, I'll put a mask on. And I was like, not a chance. I just came from the Petri dish that is the Venetian. So absolutely not on Easter weekend in March Madness. Where, by the way, I'll tell you about my weekend, which was I got there on Thursday night. The shows are Friday and Saturday. Nate Craig's over at the Brad Garrett. I like Nate Craig, mm-hmm. Milwaukee guy. He's great. Mm-hmm. And we went to the Laugh Factory party on Saturday night, and I recognized a lot of people and also did not recognize a lot of people. It took me 15 minutes of standing next to Tom from Phoenix Stir Crazy.
Oh, no, you didn't recognize Tom.
He was like, hey, Jackie, I just saw Lori. And I was like, hey. And I was like, because in my head, I'm going, comic, right. Who the hell is he? Comic. And then I walk away and his wife comes up to me and I'm like, club owner, comic. And I'm like, Phoenix. And then I was like, Tom. So it went like that. So that was
the Laugh Factory's last night. That was our party.
The second to last night, there was a party. Okay. Brad Garrett, I guess, went the Friday. We went the Saturday. Rory doesn't ever go to Vegas. Nobody ever goes to Vegas. So when they go to Vegas, some people like to gamble. And I had just been in Vegas 2 weeks ago.
Right.
So I'm like, I'm good. But Rory's like, well, do you want to play some blackjack? And I was like, kind of. Yeah. I mean, that's the game I like to do
because
it's kind of social. Yeah. I got a laminated card in the Dakotas in the mid-90s that told me when I'm supposed to stay and when I'm supposed to hit and when I'm supposed to split and when I'm supposed to double down. Laminated card.
Do you still have it?
Absolutely not. Okay. So I throw things out. So he wants to go in. He's like, Brian and Lisa are going to meet us too. So we walk into the High Roller. And it's $100 a hand.
Oh my God.
And I looked at him.
Did you do $100
hand? No. I said, okay. Too rich for my blood. What are you guys nuts? So I watched them play and they both came out like even or $500 up. But I did, before we found Brian and Lisa, we went and played. Like, I like a $5 table. I love a dollar table. The Venetian on a Friday night is going to be a $25 table, which seems super expensive as well. And I don't usually, you know, if I gamble, I gamble like $100. And then I say to myself, well, that's what I would spend on doing something, you know.
Like a movie. Like it's like you saw four movies.
Like,
yes.
Right. It was like I went and I did something for me. It was an event. Yes. Right.
Yeah.
And so, but I got sucked into it and I lost like $300 and then I won like $600. $200. And then I lost $200. Then I won $600. Then I, you know, whatever. At the end of it, I think I was down about $150. It was $200. It was very annoying. Because
I feel like you got to go, I'm going to lose this money. Right. And at the end and that's of losing what I usually, it, I'm going to walk away. And if I gain money, that's cool. And I can reinvest it, but I'm not going to lose any more than this $100 or whatever.
Which
is
what I usually do, but I was trying to feel cool.
Right.
And unfortunately that cost me $150. So, but that, you know, that is also par for the course. The shows
were terrible for Vegas. Yeah.
No, not at all. Not at all. I went to Kat Eves, the stylist lady who was sick and couldn't meet me. She did recommend a restaurant in the Venetian though, that was amazing. And if you ever go with your son, it's chicken and waffles, but I've never had.
Ooh,
these are the best chicken and waffles I've ever had in my life.
People love it.
People love it. I'm not a big fried chicken person. I like a roasted chicken 1,000 times every day, but a fried chicken. And then these waffles were amazing. And it was called Yard Bird. And the first day I was there, I mixed it up with Yard House, which is essentially an Applebee's. Yard Bird is delicious. And, but the shows were sold out.
Wow. How many people?
Probably 1,800. They weren't real big. I think Brian, I don't know this. I didn't ask him about it, but I think he's kind of dipping his toe into maybe a residency. They were both fully sold out.
Did he like it? Did he like, cause he could just drive home, right?
Yeah. And he did. And, but he didn't get the reason he's never performed in Vegas since he moved there with the kids is because he didn't want his billboard to be up while they were going to school.
Understandable. Yeah.
Yeah. He wanted them to have as normal a life as possible. And
that's
so
why I only just do spots at Flappers. I don't want posters up all over.
Right. You don't need a billboard. Area. You don't want make your son uncomfortable. So his daughter, they're both at college now though. So
cool.
He's like,
well then
they can handle it.
That's great. So he liked it. That's cool. Sold out. Right. Not bad.
But it was little. It was like a low. It was a low stage, and then it went up. And I think it's a music venue because it felt like it sort of deadened the first night. I didn't bring enough energy to it.
Oh,
second night I brought all of the energy to it, and did very well. The first night I brought some energy to it. Who was there? It was Dustin Nickerson?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he was there watching the show with his son. And
he opens for Nate a lot, right? And Taylor Tomlinson, I think.
Right. He opens for Taylor and Nate Bargatze. And though he was opening for Nate Craig.
Oh, okay.
And when he said he opens for Nate, I was like, oh yeah, he said he was going to come over, Nate Craig. And he goes, oh, I meant Bargatze. And I was like, sure. There's 1,000 guys named Nate. But
Josh.
Right. He said,
he
said his son, said about my set. He said, I thought it was great, but I don't think she liked it that much. And I was like, that's a kid that's seen a lot of stand-up comedy. Cause I
These
was
comedy kids
slightly.
Are
yeah. I was slightly uncomfortable with that first set, but the second set was good and I enjoyed it a great deal. But it was a lot of socializing, so much socializing. I was like, I better not be sick. I came home. I took a COVID test. I took a bath. I went to bed at 5 o'clock on Sunday night. I woke up at 8 a.m. on Monday morning. 15 hours.
Just so you know, you wouldn't be testing positive for COVID just yet. It takes a couple days.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know if we'll have to test tomorrow.
I am bringing my air purifier to hair and makeup.
Okay.
And then I'm just praying, crossing my fingers, and putting a lot of antiviral nasal spray up my nostrils.
Right. Gotta do it. Mm-hmm. It's, so it'll be, this show will be super fun though. I'm looking forward to it. After midnight tonight. Will be tonight.
Once it's like, because our call time's 1:30. So once it's like noon, And we've settled on, we have everything you could possibly have clothing wise, and you just will live with whatever you're wearing. And now you've got your topics, you've got a writer assigned to you to help out. Then it's out of your hands and you just, you know, try to remember your jokes and have fun.
Right. I want to answer every question with an anecdote because I'm long-winded, Lori. Get it?
Yes. that didn't strike me as a joke. It struck me as an actual desire of yours.
Again, my act, it comes to bite me in the ass. So I don't know what else goes on.
Well, oh, I worked with some, with Ariel Norman. I think her Instagram is Ellen D. Genderless.
Genderless?
But she had some really funny, cool. Like really funny anti-man stuff that I really liked. I was like, now I look a lot nicer, you know?
Right. Right.
She like, she moved the Overton window over a little bit for every crowd. And then I would step through and look like a centrist. So that was nice.
That is good.
If I'm using the phrase Overton window correctly.
I don't know that term.
I think it's like what's normal, what's considered normal. And then different things push it different ways. So like the amount of racism from the Republican Party that's overt is pushing it in a bad way that way, right? And then it can be, it depends on each topic you're talking about, I guess, what's considered acceptable gets moved around by, you know, society and what's popular or common, I guess.
Right, right. Brian is doing this great joke about flat earthers.
Yeah.
And it isn't, you know, he's not political, but he's sociopolitical in the way that he's not insane. And people,
yeah, you don't have to be political to believe the earth is round. That is actually not.
Oh, except for that people tend to, they tighten up on him.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they were worried he was going to start going off in a different direction and not just stay in that topic, you know, like I wonder if they were like, what's coming next? If they were right. Like Republicans or something.
Right. Right. Well, that's why they tightened up. That's what I meant.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the bit
the same
itself,
with his gun bit. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They tended to get a little nervous about it.
Yeah.
And, I'm just, yeah.
So does he talk about his personal life at all, or is he talking about, you know, like, does he
no,
talk about parenting?
It's all observational. He doesn't do. He used to do when the kids were little. He did some jokes about about parenting, and you know, all of his jokes about are just like how his kids are just smarter than him.
Yeah,
and then he did one of my favorite bits a couple of years ago was about taking the family to Disneyland and an entire family skipped in line. They were in line for a ride. And an entire family sort of weaseled their way in front of him. And he was like, no, I know that we were in front of these people. Cause I was, and I think the line was something like he was behind somebody who had those giant, like backgammon earrings.
Yeah.
Where that's just a hole in their ear.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And it was one of his, he didn't have a new bit about courtesy. He usually has a new, I'm working with him again next week, but, but at the end of the Disneyland bit, he's like, well, the world's gone mad. I might as well just take this woman's purse and just spin and whip it into a bush. And, it was something like that. It was really funny. And I was like, cause I do love his commitment to courtesy. It makes me giggle. And, I'm working with Maria next week in Minneapolis and then in Pennsylvania, not in Buffalo. Agent pulled me off of it, I guess. And, I was like, all right. And, so
did you already get a plane ticket?
Maria's, they get the plane ticket for me.
Okay.
So, and, but then, cause the plan was, cause I'm doing Columbus with Brian first and then Minneapolis and then Pennsylvania, Munhall, Pennsylvania. And then she's going on to Buffalo, New York. And then I'm coming home. And yeah, so it's going to be a bit of a grind for her because they're fly, do the show 2 days.
Yeah,
I think the Minneapolis one, she might be there the night before, but the Pennsylvania and the Buffalo will be fly to the show.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. I had so much stuff on this trip. I brought my little blender. I got a mini blender, Ninja blender, and I made
little the smoothies. Instagram. Yeah.
So did you love it? I did love it. And, you know, I think it's one of those things where, because when you, at Cap City, it's in the middle of like a very upscale mall called the Domain. Okay. It's kind of like if there was a comedy club at the Americana or in Pasadena, downtown Pasadena, it's that, you know, that Pottery Barn feel, although I don't even know if they have a Pottery Barn, but it's all that, those kind of little shops and stores. There's apartments above Versace. To them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's a quaint little European town. Sort of.
With a, right.
Yeah. But, so there was food and stuff there, but I'm thinking more like when you go to Go Bananas or any place like in Ohio, Michigan, whatever, you get there like at 5 o'clock, you know, and the hotel has like microwavable pizzas and shit like that. And then if you buy milk and a banana at the airport as you're leaving, and then you can blend it in the hotel mm-hmm. room and do your first show and you'll be satisfied. It wasn't as necessary in Texas because there were a lot of options, but it's great when there's not many food options and you're just sort of stuck in a hotel room.
Yeah. You know what? I don't mind that story. That was a lovely story.
Thank you.
What came out of it for me was that I would need to write down the words, get some work in Ohio, Jackie. Do you realize that I never work Ohio?
Oh, I'm working nowhere. Dayton in the Funny Bone.
For Stroop?
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, I think so. I mean,
I'm full of rage and yet I'm happy for you. Congratulations.
I feel enraged. But yeah, I mean, I'd like to be working more of them. So, you know, I'd like to go back to Albany. Have not been able to hook that up. Yeah. Jackie, there's too many headliners. I'm not,
I know.
The competition has never been this. It used to be just regular old sexism, you know, because they work the same dudes over and over again. They'd be coming back every 6 months or so. And now it's like, no, people are coming back every year and a half. And it's because there's so many of them, you know? Mm.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I wouldn't discount sexism.
Oh, yeah. There's still some sexism.
It's,
but there's
it's still
like
stacked on top. I think it's just stacked. On top of the fact that there's also 30 new, really, really good young male comics that are just decent comics, right? They're just 30 guys who probably also golf.
Minimum.
And they're in their late 30s, early 40s. Yeah. And they do the job and they're smart and funny and they're not monsters. And so there's no reason not to book them, except for
there
that
needs to be,
I would like there to be more work for me.
There needs to be more comedy venues. Obviously, comedy is very popular, right? Mm-hmm. If all these clubs are all of a sudden they're selling out all their shows with, you know, various people who've done very well on social media, open more rooms, open more clubs, please.
Yep. I'm doing a weird, awesome run in Wisconsin and Minnesota in June that Mary Mack has helped me set up. And it's just me wandering the Midwest, like it's 1996. And it'll be fine. But
that's fun. I'm doing a comedy festival May 18th in Iowa City. It's called the Floodwater Comedy Festival, I think. It's called Floodwater. I know that because my dad was a civil engineer who dealt with floodwater. Like, I can't tell you how many manila envelopes had that word, the phrase floodwater as the marking on the little tab. And I wish he was alive to know that I was.
Yeah. Well, I booked Bloomington and I booked Vermont. And I booked the Wisconsin run. There is a giant tree being cut down behind my house. You might get some of that. I don't know if you're getting any of that, but
I see, I hear a little bit. School drop-offs done here, so angry parents. Right. Hopefully they're tuning down. I need words. I would like is for somebody to shovel words into my head so that I have them at full access to them when I need them tomorrow,
right
after midnight.
Right, that'll help. I think it. It looks like it's been fun. Like every group that they've picked seems like the way Marianne's curating the gatherings of people.
Yeah,
is kind of super fun.
Yeah, and very much so.
Yeah. Hey, why don't we take this time to do the comic of the week?
Okay.
And take a quick break. Yeah, let's take a break first.
Thanks to everyone who contributed during this year's Max Fun Drive. We truly couldn't do what we do without you. With the drive in the rear view, it's time for another proud tradition, our annual charity pin sale. This year, the proceeds for the pin sale will support Vote Riders, a nonprofit dedicated to expanding ballot access nationwide. Members at $10 a month or more can purchase Max Fun Drive pins featuring shows from across the network. And all members are able to buy our network pin design, exclusive to this charity sale. The sale is live now, and it ends Friday, April 12th. For more info, head to MaximumFun.org/pinsale. And thanks again for your support.
Okay, our comic of the week, she popped up on Instagram. I don't know where she lives, but her name's Ayana Dookie. And she's very funny. She had a, I hear it, she had a set cracked, I guess, is kind of, it looked like they're doing a Don't Tell-esque sort of comedy series. And I sent the video to you and I'm like, there's some good jokes in the front that the audience was not giving it up. You know, like she had some good set, the punchline, the real punchline that was great. And then the little jokelets on the way, I was like, what the fuck?
It wasn't fair at all. She was super funny and it was really smart. And
but she didn't lose her composure. She kept going.
And how do you spell it? I forget.
Ayana, A-Y-A-N-N-A. And then Dookie is how we would all want to spell it. A D-O-O-K-I-E.
And I think her handle is A Dookie.
Yes.
There we go. On the Instagram. It'll be in the notes. She's great. Find her, book her. Let me open
for her. She talks about this, or it's in her bio that she talks about having lupus. And,
Right.
Yeah.
And she has a podcast about living with lupus. Yeah.
Right. That's a comedy's hard enough when you don't have that kind of health.
Don't have lupus. Yeah. It's, no kidding. It's,
So find her.
Get with it. Enjoy. I have one set this week after doing television, so I can't be sad. First of all, I mean, I get to do television. Stop. Shut up already.
Right.
But here's
the
scoop. Plus, tomorrow my Don't Tell comes out.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, my Don't Tell comes out the same day as the after.
So is it one long set, or did they split it into little chunks?
You know, he sent me an email and he goes, I like the whole thing, but here's a 10 minute and change version. And here's a 14 minute and change version. We'd love to just put the whole 14 on YouTube if that's okay. And I'm like, yeah, do whatever you want. I did all of those jokes for you.
Are they old jokes, Jackie? Or are they new?
Yes. I think there was only one new joke. And I think it was near the end. It was I might have done half of my new closer. Right. So, but I did a lot of old jokes and it reminded me of those old jokes, like that radiation joke.
It's so funny.
People love that joke. And I was like, oh yeah, that's from 2017, I think. So
at least it's still 20. I mean, I could reach back in
arguably,
the 19th.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Arguably it could be a classic, but, all good. So I'm doing the improv on Friday. I have one set of the improv. The Don't Tell and the After Midnight are both tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to rebrand my own website. So I have to figure out how to use Squarespace. And
you're redesigning it?
not redesigning it. I just, you know, the last special, that tiny special that Kyle shot, Looking Back.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been several months. So we want to sort of reskin the website.
Yes.
And, but I might leave it up because I think tomorrow I'm going to use, she asked for a good intro, like a good weird intro for After yeah. Midnight. And I told her about Looking Back. And hopefully it'll get some views because of it. It was a really fun thing that we did, Kyle.
I think it's really cool. I'm a big fan. I'm super happy with how it
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I thought it turned out really well too. And, you know, and it has built in jokes about, you know, looking in the rear view camera of a car. And I
got erroneously weird recording specials in weird places game.
Right. And oh my God, my mother-in-law has been watching so many comedy specials. Wow. That I walk in and I'm like, oh, there's Tom Papa. Oh, there's Fortune Feimster. Today I came in here and I left her with Tommy Ryman playing a dry bar. I had her watching both Bent Washburns. I tried to get her, I couldn't get an Aaron Foley.
You gotta find Aaron Foley. She must have a special out, right?
She just had clips. It was just like 4 to 7 minute clips. And I'm reading this new book that they turned into a TV show. So I've subscribed to a new thing, MGM Plus.
Wow.
So I could watch. Right. It's a deep cut. It's a deep cut. There's nobody. Nobody's got as many old lady. I don't have Apple, but I got MGM Plus. I got Paramount Plus.
Jackie, you're very close to watching Bosch. So prepare yourself.
I've seen Tracker. Which is referenced
with the This Is Us guy?
Maybe. I know.
Yeah.
It's essentially it's like a kinder, gentler version of Reacher. And it's on CBS.
And that's got a super tall guy, right? Like a 7 foot guy.
Reacher? Reacher yeah. has the guy looks like a silverback gorilla. He's literally an enormous man who can rip zip ties in real life.
Yes.
But he's also pretty likable. So it's a good show.
So we just finished Rick and Michonne, which is the final. There were three offshoots of The Walking Dead. There was the Dead City. Didn't love it. I felt like they could have used New York City a lot more than they did. It was all in sewers and stuff. Like, didn't you feel like, Kyle, like they had people zip in one scene, they were ziplining between buildings because the bottom, New York City, the bottom of it, you know, the streets are full of zombies, right? Walkers. So they were ziplining. I'm like, that is fucking cool. If that's how people have to get around in New York City during a zombie apocalypse, that's fucking cool and terrifying. And they only did it like twice. And then the rest of the time, they're just going through sewers. I'm like, come on, guys. That would have been cool.
The whole show should just take place from the point of view of the zipline.
Totally.
Hard agree.
Yes, have a GoPro. I mean, how cheap is that to shoot, right?
It's got an internal monologue.
And then, yes, Daryl Dixon in France, not a fan of. I don't give a shit about the kid that they're all obsessed with.
Yep.
Neither my son and I don't. And then Rick and Michonne was really good. I mean, I felt like they could have gone, you know, where you're obviously AMC gave them 6 episodes, and what they did, they probably could have done in 22 and it would have been incredible, but they smashed it all in. So, you know,
can I give you a little fun piece of trivia here?
Yes.
So it's crazy that you say it could even get longer, because that started off as the movie, like the Rick and Michonne thing initially started off. They were going to do a movie thing. And then it flipped in. So I've been fascinated following that because it's so different than what it was like originally pitched that I had heard it as. It looks really cool.
Oh. Well, I didn't know she denied, I don't know her last name. It's a playwright. Yeah, she's a playwright. And so she wrote a lot, like her, the character, she contributed, I think, a lot to Michonne's, you know, storyline. And it's like really good. And, you know, sometimes when the actors weigh in, you're like, ugh. But she did it. She's great. Anyway,
you guys, let me know when we're done talking about zombie shows.
It's comic books. We flipped it on
comic
you.
Books. It's I never. I read the first two trades. I was good. I was like, it's like there's only two ends to all zombie stories. There's only two ends. Either they cure zombieism or everyone becomes a zombie. That is it. And yeah. There's no other way to end a zombie story, in my opinion. But I can be proven wrong. It's fine.
What if you can live with zombies?
You learn to survive. Yeah. You find ways to live like people live around wild animals.
Or COVID.
Interesting. Interesting. Right. And
we started
or COVID. Wait a minute.
I have to get my agenda in, Jackie. My agenda.
Let me just say that I saw Enola Holmes, like the Sherlock. Did you ever see Stranger Things?
Yeah. Yes.
The young woman on Stranger Things is producing a Sherlock Holmes.
11?
As,
who plays 11?
I don't know the name of the woman, but she does a great job. And it's just she's executive produced it and has created her own like two and a half, two hour movies. And Helena Bonham Carter plays her mother. And it is essentially a Sherlock Holmes from a woman's point of view. The Sherlock Holmes is in the public domain.
Yeah.
And so everyone can reimagine Sherlock Holmes until they're old and gray. But what is not in the public domain is the fact that Sherlock Holmes might have had a sister named Enola Holmes. And she was also a detective.
Shakespeare's sister, right?
Yeah. Right. And so and they're both very they're very cool. And the second one was based on a real it's Victorian England, right? Because it's Sherlock Holmes. And the second movie is about a real thing that happened in the early 1900s with matchstick factories, where they changed the recipe to make. They changed them from red tops to white tops. It's real.
Oh.
And the white top ones was made with a phosphorus that was killing the matchstick girls, the people who worked in the factories.
Oh my God.
And they were just telling everyone that it was typhus.
Oh,
and so hundreds of factory workers died.
Oh,
and
my God.
Right. And so what I love about historical fiction is that you get to hear about these stories that are, you know, brought in. And then Charmy barks. Hi, Charmy.
There must be a squirrel nearby.
She loves a squirrel.
Yeah. So my son and I, we started The Americans, you know,
okay.
Like I've seen The Americans twice.
Oh my, have you?
I love it. It's fucking great.
It's tense. I bet you
it's
real tense.
It dips a little bit in a couple places that I didn't like, but I stick with it. It's amazing. But I forgot the opening. I always think of the cold open as when they're running after the KGB officer. But before that, she gives a blowjob to an American because she's trying to get him to brag about, you know, who he knows in the government, right?
Oh, the plot of every Charlie's Angels. Yes.
And so I'm watching it with my son and I'm like, oh shit, I forgot this is the opening. And he goes, you took me to see Saltburn. I'm fine.
Hey, right. That'll come up in therapy 20 years from now. Yeah, I do. I want him to listen to the Dork Forest episode about anime, just because it was.
Who'd you talk to?
Who was that comic? Oh, he was great. And
was it Iffy?
His name was Ahmed. Ahmed Al-Kari?
Oh, okay.
Akabi? Forget him. Really nice young man. I'm 100. One of the younger guys, right? A younger comic, very popular, wanted to do the show, came up with, and I was like, can you pick some anime that I might watch? And so he picked stuff that wasn't super dark. Something called Hero.
My Hero Academia?
Yep. My Hero Academia. And then there were a couple of others, but if you go to thedorkforest.com take a quick gander at that. Just look at some clips. And this week it's all about Fallout, the video game Fallout, and it came out today with Matt Alano Martin, who I think mentioned to Jared that I was looking for work because Jared was like, send me your avails. And then I booked a week at Indiana.
He hasn't booked me back.
Well, you didn't talk to Matt Alano Martin Or why don't you, it's going to be fine. You're going all over Ohio and Iowa. You could be mad, but also be happy for me.
Thank you. Anyway. I am happy for you, and I'm angry and jealous.
Exactly.
I mean, I think that's the natural state of things, and I refuse to be ashamed.
Refuse to be ashamed. yeah, so, but the Fallout 3 was a great PlayStation game.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were several after, and now there's a massive multiplayer one that's online that that Madelano Martin plays. But as a Star Trek fan, he was like, it's sort of like when somebody loves Star Wars or Star Trek, and a series comes out that isn't good. He's like, the massive multiplayer isn't good, but I'm the only one that gets to say that because I love it so. It's like you with The Walking Dead. You know, you love it so much that you cannot like an iteration.
Well, yes, it's true. But I will say to Jackie, I am talking about my own personal experience, and you're actually recounting a separate podcast on a different podcast, which is one extra level of killing
yeah,
time.
It's all I got. It's all I got. Good luck. Take it back. Take back the reins.
So we'll be on TV tonight, and then I will be in New York City the following weekend of July 12th. And I'm going to see April. I'm going to see Eddie Izzard is doing Hamlet.
Whoa.
I think the entire, just by yourself. Wow. I'm not really sure, but I bought a ticket. It's I bought a matinee on Sunday. So that'll be my second play in like a month.
Yeah. You've been going to a lot
Tobias
of theater.
Play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to get it in. So yeah, I'm kind of excited about that. Got a bunch of spots. Gonna do Butter Boy.
Oh, good.
You know.
Yeah.
Do all the stuff.
Yeah. The week when I come back from Columbus and Minneapolis and Pennsylvania, I have just a boatload of LA spots. Just I'm doing like something with Dana Gould and something with Fred Armisen, and then I'm just doing like Good Heroine and a couple of Bar Lubitz shows, and super fun. It was Rita was like, well, can she gave me a set at the Improv, and then she texted me back. She said, can I move it to 25 minutes later? And I'm like, yeah, 25. Yep, you knock yourself out, you live it up. And, hey, let's take another break.
From the Twisted Minds that brought you The Adventure Zone, Balance and Amnesty and Graduation and Ethersea and Steeplechase and Ultra Space and all the other ones, the McElroy brothers and dad are proud to reveal a bold vision for the future of actual play podcasting. It's called The Adventure Zone versus Dracula.
Yeah, we're going to kill Dracula's ass.
We're going to attempt. We haven't recorded all of it yet. We will attempt to kill Dracula's ass.
The Avengers M versus Dracula.
Yes, a season I will be running using the D&D 5th Edition rule set. And there's two episodes out for you to listen to right now. We hope you will join us. Same bat time, same bat channel.
I see what you did there.
But I am looking for a lot more work. I mean, it's weird because it's a weird... Like I was looking, I broke down my calendar. I just wrote on pieces of paper, like all of the days to figure out when I could get some work going. And I don't know, I'm thinking of just going, you know, I think my agent is super busy with his YouTube lady and other people. And so
Who's the YouTube lady?
There's he reps some YouTube lady who might have had some drama with grooming a young man.
Wait, I need a name. What?
I got nothing. All I got is hearsay. Look forward to it.
No,
maybe
Jackie,
Kyle can look it up.
Can you chat? Go in the chat. Who are you talking about?
Kyle, can you? I don't know her name. I literally don't know her name.
Jackie,
and all I know is I'm
drop this gossip that you can't follow up on.
Hot goss. Without any sort of reliable...
Unhelpful gossip.
It's true. But I do... I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated with the lack of sort of weekend gigs. Because I'm used to working.
Too.
I'm used to working the 40-45.
Is it that person?
Oh!
That does sound familiar.
Okay.
But
what?
Maybe... I don't know.
They did that.
They did that? Yeah. Did they do that thing? That's her.
I thought they were like kind of chased off a... Whatever. Interesting.
Here's
so that's
my
a
question.
Non-comic.
Yeah. So, yeah, just a YouTube person. And that's the question that will solve, that will answer whether or not that is the one. But whatever it is, I know he's super busy and I get it.
Jackie,
and
it's so hard to stay in this business. I'm telling you, it's like, it just keeps changing. Nothing ever stays the same. And every time I think you figured out the rules of how it's going to be, then it all gets flipped over and everyone's going, oh good, no more gatekeepers. Well,
right.
Okay. Yeah, that is good. I guess,
right.
But
right.
I'm still in the same place as when there were gatekeepers. At least I knew what the problem was then.
Right. I feel like, you know, you ever in like in the ocean and your feet can't touch the ground.
Right.
And you're just kind of, I feel like that's how I am with my act and with my bookings right now. I'm just sort of a little bit afloat and it's kind of annoying. But it's also like, it's fine. I live indoors. I have a car. It's fine.
Right.
But so I have to be aware of what I have. And I know that there are many, many comics that are much younger than me that are like, I wish I had these problems. And that's fine too. But so I try to keep it in perspective, right? Like sort of a drone's eye view of what it looks like from outside.
But I'm saying like when I was, if you're a young comic looking up, you're like, yeah, I want those problems. But when you're an older comic, you're like, when do I stop fucking having these problems? Can I have one year where everything works and I have too much work and I'm turning shit down?
Right. But that would be great. But I also think that if I get into that mindset, it literally will stall me from looking for work.
Because
I'll get depressed.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
So I gotta fight it. I did have, did I tell you? I might have told you this last week. I have like three stories. That's part of the problem. And but somebody came up to me and said, are you still funny?
What? Who?
I know.
Where?
It was the leather. Member? The guy who makes leather bags now. I texted you about it. That's right. He used to be a comic.
I don't think you texted me about.
I think I put it in the text chain. It was there was a guy and I didn't know who he was.
Right.
But he walked over and whoever I was talking to knew who he was.
Okay.
Oh, I think
so
I was
a
hanging
former
out with,
comic.
Former
that
comic.
Makes leather bags now.
That now makes leather bags.
How?
And that's right. I was hanging out with her. I was
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so I was hanging out with her and he comes over and he's like, Jackie Cation. And I was like, hey, and pretended that I, and then he goes, are you still funny? And I usually respond hysterical, but I didn't want to. And I literally said, I feel like I'm in some sort of plateau and I'm about to get really funnier. I really do. I feel like I'm about to hit something where all the stuff that I'm writing is going to click and it's going to get me up another shelf. Funny wise, where I'm just like, I can't, but I am very impatient right now as to let that happen. And and it's almost happened. Like some of the stuff is coming together, but, and the fact that I have, you know, 15 new premises is another sign that that's happening. So that's good. Mm-hmm. But I would like, so there's part of me that's like, if I can just get, see what I can do with my numbers online. See if I can. And I was talking to somebody about, I was talking to a social media lady about ads. And she was like, 2 or 3 days before the event, if you are not selling out. And I said, you mean all of them? She goes, 2 or 3 days before the event, if you are not selling out, it's got to be at about $50 to $150 a day. And the way you do targeting. And she was like, I'll explain how I do targeting another time. And I was like, all right.
So you're supposed to 2 or 3 days, you're supposed to spend between $50 and $100 each day. So up to $450 promoting.
Yeah.
How much do they think we're getting paid for these gigs?
I think she's a social media person for someone who makes more money than we do.
Yeah. So,
but it's
so strange that job. That it pays so well is so strange to me.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? But it's one of those jobs that needed to be invented because yeah. we don't know what the gig is, right? Like,
right.
you know, I was talking to Rory about the manager, Brian's manager, about how he was like, showbiz used to just be fun. It used to just be, you just go yeah. to the show and you yeah. do your show. Yeah. And now you got to clip out and you got to do all these things. Yeah. And it's so many more jobs. It's not as much fun. And I was like,
right.
Again, something I'm trying not to think about because I don't want it to stall me, but I don't think he's wrong. I think that I have to find the fun in some sort of lateral way so I don't drive myself nuts, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I'm,
and then I feel like yeah. I should have been doing all this during COVID and I just didn't, it wasn't on my radar really. And now it's yeah. like, oh, I missed that opportunity and now maybe it's gone forever. And
yeah, but there's, I mean, but to think like that, you might as well, I might as well think, well, I wish I had quit drinking when I was 20. And I wish
you would start drinking.
It would sell tickets. It would sell tickets.
This podcast would take off, I'm telling you.
It's, yes, sometimes I forget what alcohol does to me and I only remember what it did for me.
Yeah.
That is a mistake. Oh, I have a sliver. That's where this podcast has gone to, you guys. I'm checking out my own hand.
Listen, unless you've written on your hand, that's an improvement because you're often reading other materials.
Right.
Source materials.
Right. Other source material. I did a Max Fund benefit with Maggie.
Nope,
Kimberly Clark.
May?
Jackie, how can you Maggie May Kimberly Clark yourself? Why don't you fuck yourself, Jackie? Why don't you just anyway? So Kimberly Clark, very funny. And Jesse had asked me if there was anything that I could do, and I was like, "Well, I could hacky sack poorly for less than 30 seconds," and he was like, "Do it." And then he literally gave me less than 30 seconds. And so I didn't even get to kick it more than twice. Here's a hacky sack in your 50s when you don't do it regular. Stiff.
Sure. No, I believe I've never done it. That's very much an East Coast thing. And I, as you know, am from up north.
And you are from Northern California.
California, as you call it.
I do say up north, going up north. And, I would like, I wonder what I want to do with my life here.
Except I know I'm feeling yeah. like, okay, so my son graduates next year and then okay. what? Like, I want to go to Europe. How do I do now? I have sole custody of a 60-pound dog. I can't bring her to Europe.
Right. And he can't take her to college.
Well, if he, no, unless he stays here and works and just
Popeyes?
Goes to...
Has he thought about getting a side gig at Popeyes? He loves Popeyes.
No, I'm saying going to college. I'm going to a community college.
Oh, okay.
Yes. But continue to insert your little jokes, Jack.
I feel like our listeners deserve at least inserting of a couple of little jokes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm coming to a fork in the road and I don't know I'm like, what do I do with my dog? And well, I don't know. I want to go to Europe while I can still, while I'm young and my brain is popping and I've got things I want to say. I don't want to be 75 and going, you know, unless mm-hmm. I'm still popping. Who knows? I mean, I'm trying to stay alive and, you know, brain damage free.
Right. Yep. You're not wrong. I just thought of another place I wanted to work, Lori, during that great story.
Is this whole podcast exist to give you more things to be angry about?
So far, 6 years in, I think that has been the thread. It's because before this, I believe I was referred to myself as the golden retriever of stand-up comedy. And now that you've mined deep enough into my psyche that you've found ancient pockets of rage. Congratulations. We're all going to gas ourselves to death because it's going to we should send that bird in first.
You're not even a dog. You are a cat. You are some sort of cat of comedy, some sort of crouched, waiting for birds to stop by so that you can attack them. Don't even put yourself in the dog category, Jackie.
I am the most likable of the two of us. Let me just say that.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah, there you go.
You got that Midwestern thing that people seem to love.
Hacky sack might have been a Midwestern thing. It was actually a Japanese thing to train soccer players during the winter. And then it got co-opted by people who like to drink and get high because you could hold a joint and a beer while you played a sport. And there's also no scoring. Worst case scenario, you touch the hack with your hand and somebody picks it up and whips it at you. And that is the end of, that's how competitive it gets at its most competitive.
I'm going to my son's first track meet today.
He's in track?
Yeah. And he just texted he's running the 1600. I don't know what that is. I don't know.
How many laps is it in swimming?
I don't know. 1600 yards, meters. I don't even know how they do distance there.
Oh, wow. All right.
1600 hurdles. That would be an incredible race to watch. He wanted to get away from his coaches and water. So he decided to do track this season. And so this is his first meet. I'm kind of excited.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's something to go watch. Yeah.
Previous years, there's been parents who've been dragged into swimming and water polo. Well, especially swimming, that don't know anything about swimming. So they're asking all these questions that enrage me. And now I'll be that parent not knowing what races are, if 1600 is a sprint or if it's a long distance. I don't know anything. So.
And why are they all staggered? It's always so weird.
How did somebody get pole position?
Yeah,
this one's been given a head start. No.
That's not how that works. And yet it feels like that's how that works.
Kyle, watch us tonight on TV. I'd like to go away.
I think we should do just that.
Maximum Fun, a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows.
Supported
directly
by you.